Yang Lianhua was in delivery room number 3. It had been a nightmare without end. Alone, all alone, in this institution of life and death, she'd felt the contractions strengthen. She tried to stop the delivery, but she might as well have tried to stop the tide with a shovel. With despair came relaxation. It was time to surrender. The doctor saw the nurse wave. This one was a man. It was easier on the men, and so they gave most of the shots in this hospital. He took the syringe and big bottle of formaldehyde and walked down the corridor towards delivery number 3. He had performed a difficult and successful cesarean section a few hours before, and now he'd end his working day with this. He didn't like it. The foolish woman, having a baby without permission. It really was her fault, wasn't it? And she wouldn't be punished for it. She'd just get to go home with her uterus empty. That was sad, but there was much sadness in life. So, he sat on the usual stool that obstetricians used for delivering babies. So, he looked. Better give her another minute or two. Yang pushed the door open, and there it all was for all of them to see. There was the doctor, and in his hand a large needle full of... They were in time. Yang Kong pushed the doctor off his stool. He darted right to his wife's face.
I am here. Reverend Yu is with me, Lian.
Kong,
Lianhua cried out, feeling her need to push and finally wanting to. The hospital had its own security personnel. Two of them pushed into the delivery room.
What goes on here? The senior one bellowed.
These people are interfering with my duties, the doctor answered. The cops turned to the unauthorized visitors.
You will leave now,
the senior one ordered, while the junior one kept his hand on his service pistol. The doctor set the stool back up and slid it to where he needed to be.
You will not do this. This time it was you speaking.
Ah, the doctor said. The fetus was fully crowned now, and all he had to do was... Reverend Yu roughly shoved the junior policeman aside and struck the doctor's head from behind.
Getting this? Barry Wise asked.
Yep, Nichols confirmed. Outraged, the junior policeman drew his pistol.
No, shouted Cardinal DeMilo, moving toward the young cop.
Renato pushed the man aside. The doctor was holding the syringe up in the air. This the cardinal seized and hurled against the wall. Had the police better understood what was happening, it would have stopped there, but they didn't. Now the senior cop had his pistol out. This he used to club the Italian on the back of the head. Now it was Monsignor Shepka's turn, grasping the older officer's gun hand and twisting it up in a safe direction, away from the others in the room. But there it went off. The younger policeman thought that his comrade was under attack. He wheeled and fired, but missed Shepka and struck Cardinal DeMilo in the back. The pain surprised DeMilo, but his eyes were focused on the emerging baby. The crash of the shot had startled Lianhua, and the push that followed was pure reflex. The baby emerged and would have fallen but for the extended hands of Reverend Yu, who probably saved the newborn's life. He saw that the second shot had gravely wounded his Catholic friend. Holding the baby, he looked vengefully at the youthful policeman.
Why done? He shouted. Villain!
He lurched forward toward the confused and frightened policeman. The younger cop merely extended his arm and shot the Baptist preacher right in the forehead. Yu twisted and fell, landing on his back so that his chest cushioned the newborn's fall.
Put that away!
The older cop screamed at his young partner. But the damage had been done. Reverend Yu was dead. The doctor was the first to take any intelligent action. The baby was out now, and he couldn't kill it. He took it from Yu's dead arms. So, the doctor thought, this lunacy has one good result. Monsignor Shepka saw that Yu was dead. His remaining duty was to his cardinal.
Eminence,
he said, kneeling down to lift him off the bloody floor.
The child, Franz. The child. The baby lives.
A gentle smile. Bene, Renato said, before closing his eyes for the last time. The last shot taken by the CNN crew was of the baby lying on her mother's chest.
We better get the fuck out of here, Barry, the cameraman advised with a hiss.
I think you're right, Pete. Wise led his people towards the main door where their satellite van was. They'd almost made it when a shout made them turn. It was the older cop, and his pistol was out, to the surprise and alarm of the civilians in the lobby. "Keep going," Wise told his crew, and they pushed through the doors. The van was in view with the mini-satellite dish laying flat on the roof, and that was the key to getting this story out. "Stop!" the cop called. He knew some English, so it would seem.
"Under control," Pete the cameraman advised.
The camera was off his shoulder now, and his hands were out of view. The cop came close.
"Give me tape!"
"That tape is my property," Wise protested. "It belongs to me and my company." The cop's English wasn't that good.
"Give me tape!"
"Okay, Barry," Pete said, "I got it." The cameraman lifted the camera up and hit the eject button, punching the tape out of the camera. This he gave to the police officer with a downcast expression. The cop took it with his own expression of satisfaction and turned to go back into the hospital. There was no way he could have known that, like any news cameraman, Pete Nichols could deal seconds as skillfully as any Las Vegas poker dealer. The four headed off to the van. "Send it up now?" the producer asked. "Let's not be too obvious about it. Let's move a few blocks." This they did, heading west towards Tiananmen Square. Wise was already on his satellite phone to Atlanta. "This is Wise Mobile in Beijing with an upload. Hey, Barry, this is Ben Golden. What you got for us?" "It's hot. We're uploading the rough cut now, just so you get it. I'll stand by to do the talking, but let's get the video uploaded first." "Roger that. We're standing by on channel 06.
06, Pete," Wise told his cameraman.
Nichols was kneeling by the control panels.
"Standing by. Setting up for 6.
Transmitting now."
"What lunacy is this?" Fang Gan asked the ceiling.
"We're not sure," Zhang Hansan replied. "Some troublesome churchman, it sounds like.
And some foolish policeman with more gun than brains. He'll be punished, of course," Fang suggested.
"Punished? For what? For enforcing our population control laws? For protecting a doctor? Do we allow foreigners to spit upon our laws? No, Fang. I will not see us lose face in such a way."
"Zhang, what is the life of one insignificant police officer next to our country's place in the world? The man he killed was an ambassador. For the purposes of diplomacy, we must appear to regret his passing."
"For what? For interfering with our laws? That violates diplomatic protocol, does it not?"
"And if the Americans do not react kindly to this incident?"
"Then Shen will tell them to mind their own affairs."
CNN started in the White House breakfast room at 7. Ryan looked up when he heard the warning that kids should not see what they were about to show. His kids, like all other kids, stopped what they were doing to look.
"Ooh, gross,"
Sally Ryan observed when some Chinese guy got shot in the head.
"Head wounds do that," her mother, who was an eye surgeon, told her.